really picking up in the middle of a conversation. I'm going to give a little bit of an outline we're about to get into. I realize I'm talking slower during the week because it's 5:45 or 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm going to try to talk a little faster, but I don't know. Maybe that'll help once it kicks in. Let's see. So we're going to get into this. Let's get the frame of what we're dealing with. In Chof Gimel Amad Aleph, we had a statement that Asah Behema Doifon L'Sukkah, Rabbi Meir Poisel, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Meir holds his puzzle, Rabbi Yehuda holds is kosher to use a behema for a wall of a sukkah. Abaye had said that the machlokus lies in whether we're concerned that the animal might die. Are we choshesh lamisa or not choshesh lamisa? Fine. We had said there's also a concern of the animal possibly running away, and an afkamin of choshesh lamisa would be where it was tied up, but you were using loved, and you might lose the loved were it to be mason kavtza. Okay, fine. But akapanim, we have a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir holds we are choshesh lamisa, can't use the animal for a machitza. And Rabbi Yehuda holds we are not choshesh lamisa, we're not concerned about death, right? As we mentioned, misa lo shchicha, at a flashback last night, the Rambam in the beginning of Perish Mishnayos of Yuma says, when we talk about the possibility of the wife of the Kohen Gadol dying, you have to get him a second wife, the Rambam says, misa lo shchicha is sudden death. That's what we're dealing with. Sudden death. Put in perspective, because death is inevitable. But sudden death is a rare occurrence that we wouldn't necessarily be concerned about. That's what it means. Are we concerned? This animal looks healthy. Might it suddenly die? Okay. We have another statement from a Tosefta in Demai. And we're going to get into, which we're going to go into in a second. We really went through yesterday, but just to tell you the basics of how we're going to understand that. As of now, we're understanding that statement. As Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that a barrel may break. There is a concern that a barrel may break. And Rabbi Meir holds, we have no concern of the possibility of a barrel breaking. That's not a possible concern. Fine. So we see that if Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about a barrel, And we haven't gotten into the conversation yet, but just to make it easier, if Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about a barrel possibly breaking, which is an object that does not inevitably stand to break. To make it a little better, we say, by Kalim, Shrirasin, Zwi Misasin, the breaking is like their death, we say in Baba Kama. So we're equating death to the breaking of a kli. Okay, fine. So it doesn't stand to break. So if Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that a barrel might break, Kavah Chaymer, he should be concerned for the possibility of a person dying or an animal dying. So we have conflicting statements of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, who is Choshesh Lamisa, who is not Choshesh Lamisa. We then have that exists in general. That's one issue. We then have a stira regarding Gittin by an Ashes, or not regarding Gittin, by regarding a Ashes Kohen, a Bas Yisrael Shenisis L'Kohen. Can she eat Truma or not? We have different opinions in different cases, the argument of which seems to be, are we concerned about possible death or not? As we mentioned yesterday, Bas Yisrael, this is like Cohen, he's been Medina Siyam, or he gave a reget, Sha'achas Kodemisasi. In either of those cases, there's a concern that he may die. Do we have such a concern for possible death or not? Do we consider that to be a reasonable possibility? And Abaye, therefore, who has made a statement by our discussion by Sukkah, that Rabbi Meir is the opinion who is Choshesh Lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion who is not Choshesh Lemisa, should respond to that contradiction by answering that Rabbi Meir, one is like Rabbi Meir, one is like Rabbi Yehuda. The opinion, the statement by Abbas Yisrael Shmissus Lekoyan that holds we are concerned for death would hold like Rabbi Meir, and the statement that we are not concerned for death would hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because seemingly that's how Abai has discussed the machlokus. This is a machlokus of Choshesh Lemisa or not. However, we take in the middle of Gimel Amud Beis. V'amar Abaye, but Abaye says, Lo Kashya, Ha Rabbi Meir de Lo Chayesh Lemisa, Ha Rabbi Yehuda de Chayesh Lemisa. Rabbi Abaye answers this stira, he answers this kasha by saying, this is Rabbi Meir, who is not concerned for Misa. This case of where the Kohen was B'nei Nesiyam, that Braisa, that Mishnah, is like Rabbi Meir, who is not concerned for Misa. He's not Choshesh L'Misa. And the other one about the get, where we are concerned, maybe he'll die, HaRabbi Yehuda D'Chash L'Misa, that's Rabbi Yehuda, who is concerned for the possibility of death, of sudden death. Okay. So that's not like us. So Abaye seems to answer that question based on the opinions as they appear in the Tosefta Demai, the Tanya that we learned in the Braisa. Halokeach yain mibena kusim. We already went through it a little bit. One buys wine from kusim. Oimer, and they wouldn't take trumas from Isis, as we discussed yesterday. Oimer, shnei lugin shani osed lahafresh sharein truma. He should say, the two lugin that I will be mafresh in the future will be truma. Again, this is on Shabbos, where you can't be mafresh trumas from Isis, or it's where you don't have tohor kalim. You only have kalim tameim. So you have nowhere to put him. Where you to be mafresh them? Rabbi Meir, who we'll see in a second, is the Tana here. Rabbi Meir holds Yesh Breira. Okay, now we're just going to freeze frame what we discussed before. We're going to have to explain this machlokas, the basics of what's going on here. Rabbi Meir holds Yesh Breira. Yesh Breira means we will act upon a reality that will be clarified later. We will consider the elements of that reality to exist now in an unclarified form and for practical purposes to act upon. Therefore, he says, a person can say, the two lugin that I will be mafresh in the future, harehein truma. They are truma, because we're talking about 100 lugin, so it's a 50th. Oh, he's not mafresh it yet. But I see those two, that whatever two lugin are, whatever two lugin of wine are in this barrel, those which I'll be mafresh in the future, we don't know what they are, they're floating around in this barrel. So you have like a question mark on every two lugin. Are these the two? Are these the two? Are these the two? We don't know. But he's already designated, he's already defined based upon that future reality that there are a distinct tulugin in this barrel. And in a sense, he's already been mafresh it for practical purposes. There's chulin and truma that exist here. It's no longer tevel regarding truma. Similarly, after taking truma, he would say, asara maiserishin. The remaining 10% of the remaining, which would be 9.8%, 9.8, would be maiserishin. And then another 10% of the remaining, tisha maisersheni, which would be 8.82. That would be, that's the maisersheni. Umechal, and he should be paid to the Meister Sheni on money, because again, we're going to try to fix it as much as we can. If it's not on Shabbos, you could be paid to the Meister Sheni on money if you can. Not everyone learns that's what Mechal means. There's a lot of discussion on what that means. That's how Rashi learns. Fine, you should try to redeem Meister Sheni, because Meister Sheni can be redeemed with money. You should redeem it on money and therefore render those 8.8 lugin that were the Meister Sheni floating around in this barrel. He'll render them chulin through being poided. Vishoysa miyad, and he can drink immediately. Because what is he drinking? He's not drinking tevel. He's already taken trumas, maiserishin, maisersheni. He can drink it. Divir Rebbe Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir, because we say yesh breira. There's a reality, although it's unclarified, and everything, every little piece is a suffix, but maisa, what he drinks already, is not going to be what he's mafresh in the future, obviously. So what we know that what he's drinking is not that which he was mafresh in the future. So even though it's not defined, what is the truma, what is the meiser, these two lugin, he has already designated them and identified them based upon that future clarified reality. We see Yesh Breira to respond to it now. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon say that's usser. He can't drink it. Now, if you look in the Tosefta, really that last statement is really part of the Tosefta, the rest is the mission. The Tosefta continues, and they say to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, aren't you concerned that the barrel might break? Think about it. If the barrel breaks, then he never was mafresh. He'll never be mafresh, the two. So then he never really identified the Truma Maestris that he's being mafresh, because the identity was those two that I will in the future separate. So that never happened, and that won't exist. So they say, that's seemingly the concern as we hold right now. We understand the machlokas to be that both hold yesh breira, but they hold in this case, there's a reasonable concern that future reality will not come to fruition. And then those which I will asid lahafresh, that it will be mafresh in the future, that never happened, those don't exist. And it's tevel. He's drinking tevel. So that's seemingly our understanding. Now what's the concern? What's Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir doesn't hold, the barrel will break. There's no concern the barrel will break. So that's our stira, right? Rabbi Meir isn't concerned the barrel will break because it's already here. As it exists, we'll assume it will continue to exist. And Rabbi Yehuda holds no, there's a reasonable possibility that the barrel may break. Now, again, a barrel is an object that does not stand to naturally combust, doesn't stand to naturally break. It would only break from an outside reason. So Kol Shekein, you should hold by Misa. Rabbi Yehuda would hold in this case the Rav Choshesh L'Misa. We want to apply that to Misa. Rabbi Yehuda would hold Rav Choshesh L'Misa. Rabbi Meir, we see from here, would hold that we weren't Choshesh L'Misa. We're not concerned for possible death, for the possibility of sudden death, just like we're not concerned for the breaking of this barrel. And based on that, Machlokas Abaye has answered the Stira regarding the Mishnayos of Bas Yisrael Shneses Lakoyim. Okay, so we have two issues. We have conflicting Machloksim, and we have conflicting statements in Abaye of who holds what. Okay, so we start with the Abaye statement as far as breaking this down and getting through this. Ipuch, switch the statement of Abaye. When Abaye answered to those Mishnayos, the Bas Yisrael Shneses Lakoyim, are we concerned for death or not? Switch Abaye's answer. Rabbi Meir Chayesh Lamisa, Rabbi Yehuda Lo Chayesh Lamisa. Really, Abaye answered like he says by sukkah, by us, by whether or not you can use an animal for a sukkah. Of Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. The Tanya, like we see by sukkah, so behemah doifin l'sukkah. You made a behemah doifin l'sukkah for a wall of your sukkah. Rabbi Meir places Rabbi Yehuda machsher. Rabbi Meir holds it's possible, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is kosher. Okay, so switch Abaye. So that's our first answer. Our first answer is Abaye didn't say it like that. Abaye, just like he says here, there's a machlokes whether or not rechoshes lamisa. So too, that's how he answered. That's how he answered based on sukkah. That's how he answered that. That's stira. So there's no issue in Abaye. There's no stira in Abaye. Abaye holds like us, like he says it by us by sukkah, and that's how he's miyashiv the Mishnayos but Bas Yisrael, and this is Likoyen. Al-Kaponim, fine, Abaye is okay, but we're still left with the Stira in the Brises, in the Mishnayos. So we say, Kasha, the Rebbe Meir at the Rebbe Meir. Still, we left with the Kasha between Rebbe Meir to Rebbe Meir, right? Abaye is great. Abaye holds that we see this Machlokas in Sukkah, but Al-Kaponim, there's a conflicting Machlokas in the Mai. So we say, Kasha, the Rebbe Meir at the Rebbe Meir. It's a Stira in Rebbe Meir. Amalach Rebbe Meir, Misa Shchicha. Bekiyas anod lo shchicha. Says Rabbi Meir, Misa is shchiach. For those who just came, we really just started where we left off yesterday, but we had more background. So we're really in the beginning of today's daf. Amar lecha Rabbi Meir, Misa shchicha bekiyas anod lo shchicha. He says Misa is a concern. Misa is likely, and therefore should be is a consideration. But bekiyas anod, this flask, this barrel breaking, is not a concern. Eshud the muscle l'shomer, because you can take if you are cautious, you safeguard it, you can take measures to minimize the possibility of its breaking by giving it over to a shomer, taking proper care of it. It doesn't necessarily stand to break. Rest by Misa, it does stand to inevitably happen. So Misa we're concerned about, but Bekiyas Anod we're not. So no steer in Rabbi Meir. Kashya the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda. We have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that we're concerned of a barrel breaking, Kol Shekein, he should be concerned for Misa. Taima, the Rabbi Yehuda, love Mishum Dechayesh LeBekiyas Node. The reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda isn't because he's concerned that this barrel will break. All opinions agree that likely the barrel will should be considered to continue to exist. Ela Mishum Deleis LeBreira. The reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda in this Tosefta and Demai is because he doesn't hold a Breira. He doesn't hold that an unclarified reality now can be acted upon based on the elements of the future clarified reality. He doesn't hold a Breira. Breira is a big sugya in Shas, and there's a lot to discuss on it. We're not going to discuss it. V'lo chayish Rabbi Yehuda l'bekiyas node. So we ask the following, what do you mean? As I mentioned before, the Tosefta continues. And how can you say that Rabbi Yehuda isn't concerned for Bekiyas Node? V'homin diktani seifa. At the end of the Tosefta, it says, Amru lo Rabbi Meir, they said to Rabbi Meir, Iyata mura shem yivaka anod, v'nimtzaz asheris al tevalim l'mafreya. Aren't you concerned that maybe the barrel will break and then we'll find that this person drank tevel? So don't you have a concern for that possibility? That the barrel will break and the person will be found to have drinking tevel? V'amar lohu, and Rabbi Meir says, L'kishi yivaka. We'll worry about that when it happens. We'll wait till it breaks, i.e., I'm not concerned. So no, that statement sounds like that's the issue of Rabbi Yehuda, that they hold the problem was the barrel would break, not because they don't hold a breira. We say that there Rabbi Yehuda was saying to Rabbi Meir. He was talking to Rabbi Meir. He wasn't just saying, this is my opinion. So he said to him, listen, by me, this whole thing doesn't start because I don't hold a breira. So I don't hold you can even do this. For sure you can't drink it. But even by you, that you do hold a breira, aren't you Moida? Wouldn't you agree that there's a possibility that maybe the barrel would break? He was saying, in Rabbi Meir's opinion, not his opinion, he wouldn't be concerned the barrel would break, but he knows that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa, as we see in Sukkah. So he says, just like you're Choshesh Lamisa, maybe you're Choshesh, the barrel would break. Amar Leh L'Kishi Yavaka. And Rabbi Meir says, no, L'Kishi Yavaka. We'll worry about that when it happens. I'm not worried about it. Because again, as we mentioned, Misa is inevitable, and Bikiyas Anod, if you're Musar Leh L'Shaymer, probably not going to happen. You can take safeguards. Okay. The reason I started early was I wasn't sure how long it would take us to recap and put that in perspective. Let's continue. So we're back. We're back. Abaye says, Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda is not Choshesh. Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa. Rabbi Yehuda is not Choshesh Lamisa, as we find by Sukkah. Bekiyas Anod and Demai, no Kashya. Okay. So we say, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for Misa, v'hatnan. We learn in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheres, Maskinin Lo Shem Atamas Ishto. We find in the Mishnah in Yuma that Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah was concerned that maybe the wife of the Kohen Gadol would die. And it says that he's Mechap Biado Biad Beso. He needs an Beso Zu Ishto. He needs to have a wife. So we're Mesakin to him a second wife. And the Chumim responded, Ein La Davar Sof. We say, Ha Ismar Allah. We say no. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for sudden death. We're concerned that maybe his wife would die on Yom Kippur. There's no indication that she's going to die necessarily. So you say Ha Ismar Allah. It was said upon that Amar Rav Huna b'Reid of Yeshua Maila Asu b'Kapara. That was a special case that they were more machmir for the Kapara. When it comes to Kapara, when it comes to Nyanei Tshuva, the Kapara is Yom Kippur, which is such a big deal. We were choshesh for Misa in that case. We was choshesh Lamisa. Again, choshesh Lamisa is choshesh for sudden death. We were concerned for sudden death in a case where Kapara is on the line. Tshuva, you don't waste time. You have to make sure it gets done. That's what we say. Maila asu b'kapara. We took that extra seriously by Yom Kippur because it deals with a Kapara for Kapara Severus. You see that also because Lamaisa, the Chachamim only argued on him there because they said, In kain ein la davar sof. If you're going to set up a wife, you have to get another wife, and there's no end to it. They didn't argue on him based on the fact that we're not concerned that the woman would die. So, Pashtus, you see that there's something special there that they would agree to be. Who unless you say it's Rebbe Meir, it's Pashtus, it's Rebbe Meir anyway. Okay, fine, let's continue. Bein laman da amar shema Thomas. Bein laman da amar shema Tivruch. So we say, again, we had a machlokas. What's the reason that Rabbi Meir holds you cannot use a animal for a wall of your sukkah? And one opinion was Shema Tivruch. The only concern is you will run away. Rabbi Zeir, Abaye again, added that there's another concern that maybe it will die. And there's machlokas in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda whether we're concerned it will die. Al kaponim, these are concerns. Right now we have a kosher mechitza as the animal is standing there. Or midaraisa, even if the Rabbanim goes there, that it's not a kosher mechitza, kol zman it's there for these concerns. Raisa, be'etzim, you can use an animal for your mechitza. It's just we have a concern, and maybe it'll die, maybe it'll run away. So mid Rabbanim, they were gozer. But midaraisa mechitza ma'al yehi. Midaraisa, it seems to be a good mechitza by all opinions. It's only mid Rabbanim who the gazer ba. So, and Rabbi Meir is holding that you cannot use an animal for the wall of your sukkah. In the cases as we described in Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, only midrabanan of a gezeira, maybe it will die, maybe it will run away. Elamiyata Rabbi Meir to Tamim Mishum Goyel. However, if so, by Rabbi Meir, shouldn't an animal suffice to be used for a golel lekever, for a covering of a tomb, for the purposes of tumah? The golel, the covering of the tomb itself, is metame. B'mag b'masa. It's Gemara in Chulin on Ayin Beis. The goal of a kever again is when you go to the basic kvaris, that stone that's lying on the ground. That's like the goal of a kever, basically. Comes up a few places. Other places are actually describes it more. Okay. So Olam HaTanan, why do we say Rabbi Yehuda Matameh Mishum Goylol? Rabbi Meir Matahir. Why do we have a machlokas that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a animal is Matameh Mishum Goylol, will serve as a Goylol Kever and thus be Matameh, and Rabbi Meir holds it does not, and therefore it is not Matameh. Lamaisa over there, Rabbi Meir is being makel. He's saying it's not a Goylol Kever, it's not Matameh, Midaraisa, it's a Mechitza. So let it be there. Maybe it'll leave, but Kol Zman it's there, let it be. Why would you be makel? Why would you take away its tumah? But etzem it's tane. Over here we're being machmir because of a concern that it might run away, it might die. So we say an animal's not a doifen. That's a chumrah. But over by golel lekever, we're coming up with a kula. We're saying it's not going to be matame because of whatever reason. It might run away, whatever reason. So by golel lekever, we go lekula. Since midaraisa, we argue it is a mechitza, an animal is a mechitza, so stay by the deraisa standard, kozman, there's no problem. That it is a golo kozman that you have it. To be matame. Ela omar rav ocha bar Yaakov. So therefore, we're going to come out that really, this is not just the derabanan concern. Shema Thomas, Shema Tivruch, maybe this will happen, maybe that'll happen, but be'etzem, a animal, does not work as a machitza, even on a deraisa standard by Rabbi Meir. And we're going to explain. Ela amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, kesavar Rabbi Meir, kol mechitza shemedes beruach, ena mechitza. Rabbi Meir holds that any mechitza that does not, that sorry, any kol mechitza shemedes beruach, any mechitza that stands beruach, from ruach, ena mechitza, it's not a mechitza. Says Rashi, it stands al yedei ruach. It stands through that which is mekayim it, upholds it, is ruach, ain't a mechitza. It's not a mechitza. Explains Rashi, the rimaschal of mechitza, he the ikar amidasa dover she'ein bo mamish hu. Because that which is upholding it is a dover she'ein bo mamish. It's something that doesn't have any tangibility. It's an intangible factor. The soul, the ruach, that upholds a human being, that defines the human being is an intangible, and that's not a mechitza. That's his in the central definition of mechitza. That which is upheld by an intangible factor of ruach is not a mechitza, because we don't view the body; we're viewing the life force, we're viewing that which defines the being, the entity. Fine. So even with the rice, it's not a mechitza. So too, it's not a golel. It's not a wall. No matter how you put it, horizontal on the ground, vertical standing. Either way, kol mechitza shemedes beruach in a mechitza. A lot to go. Obviously, a deep concept. We're gonna skip. Ikat diamrei. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Kesavar Rabbi Meir. Kol mechitza she'ein asuya. But the adam in a mechitza. Or Rav Acha bar Yaakov, some said it differently, that he defined the parameters of mechitza midaraisa. So in a different expression, kol mechitza she'ein asuya b'dei adam ein mechitza, that any mechitza that isn't man-made or can't be replicated man-made, ain't a mechitza, it's not a mechitza. Says, fine. It's not asuya b'dei adam ein mechitza, it's not a mechitza. Fine, so those are our two definitions, possible shitas nirbi meyer. Either a kol mechitza she'omedes beruach in a mechitza that's upheld by ruach, is not a mechitza, or kol mechitza she'ena asuya b'de'adam in a mechitza that is not asuya b'de'adam, it can't be made by a person, is not a mechitza, and therefore an animal does not serve as a mechitza. Ma benayu, as a wall, as a covering, etc. Ma benayu, what's the distinction between these two? Lashonos of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Ike benayu, the difference would be the ukma beno tapuach. You put the mechitza, the ukma beno tapuach literally means you stood the wall, you had a real wall, but you stood it up beno tapuach, on a node tapuach, on a flask that was inflated, like a balloon. Lamanda ama mechitza medes beruach, ena mechitza harei medes beruach. By the opinion that mechitza that's standing beruach, that stands When ruach is not a mechitza, so here it's standing on ruach. The balloon is only standing through the intangible factor of the air inside it. Lamanda amar ina asuya b'di'adam. By the opinion ina asuya b'di'adam, that it can't be made by a person, hare asuya b'di'adam. Then in this case of the balloon, it is asuya b'di'adam. You blew into the balloon. You inflated the balloon. Obviously, with the animal, that's not going to be the case. Right to here, this ruach is b'di'adam.
These replacing Rabbi and
Oh, so we're gonna. Yeah, he is. This is not a concern of Shema Thomas or Shema Tivruch. This is a intrinsic reason. He is replacing those reasonings. So let's just go through those reasonings for a second. So the difference is note the puach. Did they translate? Article translates that as a balloon, as I said, or something like that. I'm not off on that. Okay, fine. Okay, all right. Okay. Note also, when we say Rashi, really it's not in order, but Rashi above. Yeah, says ruach chaim love b'di adam. Where do we see that? What do you mean ruach is not b'di adam? He says ruach chaim love b'di adam. Who shahari eni ruach b'yodo lenafcho, because he doesn't have the ruach to blow into this animal. He can't give the animal life. This life he can't give to it. Fine. So therefore, in that Rashi, we see that ena suya b'di adam doesn't mean naturally made and not man made. It's specific to ruach chaim, right? We're talking that kol mechitza she'ena asuya b'di adam in a mechitza. So it says the Sfas, that should include trees also. Shouldn't be able to be used as a mechitza, because that's not man-made. But he says, he brings from Tosas and Erevin, that we see that Tosas is clearly understanding it's only animals. It's only like real living beings that have a living soul, that we're defining as a mechitza that's not asuya b'di adam. And Rashi also, we see like that, how does Rashi define mechitza she'ena asuya b'di adam, ena mechitza, that second lashon of Avraham bar Yaakov. Rashi says it about five lines up from the bottom on Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, after two dots, not in bold. Ruach Chaim lev b'di adam hu, shari ein ruach b'yodo l'nafcho. That ruach Chaim, person can't give. It's specifically ruach Chaim that we mean ein asuya b'di adam. Let's go back. This idea that we say kol mechitza she'ena medes beruach ena mechitza. So there's a big discussion in this. What about the cases we mentioned above, where the animals? How much of a practical difference are we giving based on this reasoning? Meaning, does this mean that kol zman, any animal, kol zman it's alive, you can't use it because it's being upheld by its life force, its soul, right? Or does it mean, and if the mechitza kol zman it's alive is the intangible life force, like Rashi says, ein bo mamish, that's not the mechitza. Or does it mean a mechitza that's dependent and only defined by that life force is a mechitza? Nafkamina is like this. What about the animals that were tied up? What about the fiel, that elephant, that's fiel kosher, that even if it dies, it's still tentafachim, it's still a mechitza. So I'm not dependent on the life force for my mechitza, but kozman, it's alive, it happens to be. It is defined by its soul more than its body. And the soul is an intangible, as far as what is the object. Is it ruach? Is it not? Sfas Emes is mesupik in this issue. He's mesupik. Would we say that according to this reasoning of amedes beruach ena mechitza, the first reason, and certainly the second reason, or maybe both, I mean, because Rashi says that both are dependent on ruach chayin, would we say that the animals that are alive but tied up, that even if they die, would still constitute a mechitza? Are they not a mechitza or not? Close month, they're alive. Would they be a mechitza while alive or not? That's a suffix. The Rabbi Yoshev brings from the Marsha and the Ritva in his Ha'aris, Rabbi Yoshev brings that a field kashur would not be a mechitza. It would not be a mechitza because we are defining the object by its soul. And that's omedes beruach, even though we're not dependent upon its being alive, kolzman that it is alive, it's a dover that's omedes beruach. Mechitza omedes beruach, ain't a mechitza. So according to this, we're coming out, these tied up animals, kolzman they're alive, not a good mechitza. According to Rabbi Yosher, Sfas Emes is mesupik. Let's speak that out. Okay. Just while they're alive, because once they're dead, they're not omedes beruach, you're just dealing with a hide. So then, even by our, let's push it, yeah. Even by our Moskona, it would be a mechitza. You could use hides. I want to just really fast. Okay, this is really the end of that discussion of whether Kosh is the Misa or not. Quick issue. We saw real fast, and this is a true Daf Yomi story, really quickly. It says, It's a segue. It's very fast. We say that by Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's not concerned for Misa, he's not choshish the Misa, but for sudden death, in a case of Mila Asu B'Kapara, Le'inyan Kapara, for Kapara, for Yom Kippur, he is concerned. We have to be Masakeh, the second wife. Ramesh Shapiro Milablin, who founded the Daf Yomi, in his Sefer HaTshuva, in his Tshuva Sefer, or a mayor, Chilak Aleph, Tshuva Ayin Hey, has an arichas to prove that even when you have a small daf, somebody takes upon himself to learn a daf a day, and you have a small daf, like Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, that still counts as a daf. That's still called learning a daf Gemara. Ayin Sham in that tshuva. He has a discussion. He was the one who founded the Daf Yomi. He has a tshuva that that's still called learning a daf Gemara, even if it's a short daf. Ayin Sham. I'm not going to go through it because Islam, this would be a very big tangent. There was a maisa, but somebody was sick. He wasn't feeling well. And he made a neder. He didn't go to a Daf Yomi. And he's sick, what's he going to do? So the Gemara says, one of the eights the Gemara gives somebody who's sick, he says, if he learns one daf, he should take one to learn two daf. He should take one more mitzvahs. So what's he going to do? He's thinking, he should get tzedakah, you know, start a foundation. He's, no, I'll do something even better. Rabbanu Shalom, if you make me better, I'll sit in on the daf yomi shir for one day. That's what he says. I'll go to a daf, there's a famous daf yomi shir in his town, I'll sit on it for one day. I'll go for one day. And the Shaila is, this guy, he's not a big focuser. It's not his thing. Not his thing. Can he wait till a small daf and then go for a short daf? Can he go at the end of a masechta? Can he wait? Or does he have to go immediately? So the lacha is, in Hilchas Tanis, Tavkuf Samaches, Sif Gimel, somebody makes a neder to have a tanis. He puts on himself a certain amount of tanesim. He's able to push them off for shorter days, until the days are shorter. And the Mishnah Berurah says that's only, he can push them off if it's a short time, because then we're not concerned for sudden death, but he can't push them off like all the way for like half a year ahead, because then we are concerned for death. In the long run, we are concerned for that amount of time for death. We're not concerned for sudden death in a short period of time. That's what he says. So it's brought down in the Tshuva Nishal David by Rabbi David Oppenheimer. Simen Chav Gimel. He says the following: a person is mekabel himself, he's fasting for shoivavim, which are fasts for tshuva. We'll discuss that another time, what the tanesim of shoivavim are, but they're fasts for the purpose of doing tshuva during between Chanukah and Purim. So the case is Rosh Chodesh falls out on a Thursday. He usually would fast on a Thursday. He says you have to fast earlier. You have to push the fast ahead to Wednesday. You can't push it off later because it's an inyan of kapara, and we say maila asu b'kapara. For Kapara, we are Choshish for sudden death. That, you can't push off your Tanis. So too, says Rav Yitzchak Silverstein here, this guy, he did it like Kapara. He was not feeling well. He was sick. And he said, I'll be Machaper, to be Machaper my Averis, the Machaper and whatever is called, giving me this Choyle, I'll be Machaper to the Siddhan Daf Yoimi. He says, he can't wait till a shorter Daf. He has to go immediately because Milo Asupi Kapara, we are Choshish for sudden death by a Kapara. All right, that's a little bit of a tangent. Segue to the next Gemara. Let's see. Amar Mar, says Mar. Oh, sorry, Amar Mar. We mentioned on Chaf Gimel, Amar Aleph, in this discussion of different things of what and what does not function with Bali Chaim, what you cannot use animals for. After listing these things that Rabbi Meir held, you cannot use an animal for any mechitza or golel kever. We mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbi Yossi held, Amar Mar Mishim Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Amru, Afin Kozvan Alev Gitei Noshim, you cannot write a get on an animal. My time of the Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. What is the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili? Why does he hold you can't write a get on an animal? And seemingly Rabbi Meir, who has this whole list of things that you can't use an animal for, didn't, that one wasn't mentioned. The Tanya will in the Brisa, Sefer Ein Lo, the Tanya will in the Brisa. The Pasuk says by Gittin. Pasuk says, Ki yikach ish isha ubala vahaya vahaya. He marries a woman, doesn't like her. He must a boy of a stavar for whatever reason, because of la safer crisis, he writes to her a safer crisis, Venosin Biyoda Vashilchami Beso. And he hands it to her and he sends her away. So we're gonna discuss because of la safer crisis is the development of the get, how you develop the get, how you write the get, and Venosin Biyoda is how you give the get. That's what basically in those psukim, in those words of that pasuk, lie the whole process of getting. The Tanya, safer. Pasuk says safer because of the safer crisis. Ainly less safer. Lenin Bryce. So ainly less safer. Lenin is a safer. It's like a cloth. Minayin libus kodaver. How do I know that you can write it on anything? Talmud Lomar. Because of law mikomakum. Pasuk says v'kosav lo, he wrote it to her. It doesn't have to say that he wrote it. If he has a sefer, it was clearly written. The pasuk could have skipped v'kosav lo, he wrote it for her. Right? So he could have just said sefer krisis. He takes the sefer krisis and he gives it to her. So v'kosav lo is coming to add mikol makom. However you write it, with whatever you write it. In kain ma tamad lomar sefer. If so, if you can write it with whatever you want, and on whatever you want, so then why does it say sefer? Why does the pasuk say sefer? Specifically, a cloth. Lomar lucha ma sefer davishem beruachaim ve'no oichol. Afkol davishem beruachaim ve'no oichol. To tell you that there is some limitation as far as the materials that you can use for a get. It has to be davishem beruachaim ve'no oichol. It has to be something that is not a living creature and is not a food product. That's what we exclude from the statement of Sefer. That's where Rabbi Yossi is coming from. Okay, so you can't write a get on an animal. The Rabbanon and the Rabbanon who do not agree to Rabbi Yossi, they hold you can write a get on an animal. He calls it B'Sefer. The Pasuk had said B'Sefer, right? That you should write B'Sefer, write on a Sefer, get the Ga'amras. Then it would be like you're saying that the Pasuk is discussing the object on which the get is written. Because of law, Sefer creases. Pasuk says, if it had said b'sefer, then I would understand. They say you were writing on a sefer, on a cloth, which would be limiting the materials to be used on which you would write. B'hashta d'ksiv sefer, but all it says is you'll write to her. What will you write to her? It says sefer krisis, mashma, that's the actual content of what you're writing, not what you're writing on. So sefer, therefore, the Rabbanan say, does not mean the object that the get is being written on, but rather l'sfiris devarim ba'amahu da'asa. It's coming to say that you need to speak out the terms of the get. You're writing to her a sefer krisis, a content, a storyline, whatever, of krisus, of separation. L'sfiris devarim ba'amahu da'asa. It's coming for the content of the matters being discussed. That's what the pasuk means when it says sefer, not the materials. So the Rabbanan therefore have no indication in the pasuk of any limitation on the materials on which a get can be written. V'Rabbanan have a kasuf ma'idar shebe. So what do they need v'kasuf for? We said that Rabbi Yossi holds this sefer limits the materials, and therefore v'kasuf law comes to add. No, it doesn't have to be just the sefer. It could be other materials. And then the balance between those two statements of v'kasuf law and sefer, we find that some materials are excluded and other materials are allowable. But by the Rabbanan, there's no exclusion. So what do they need because of law for? That pasuk, the first part of that line. Because of law, sefer krisis. The Rabbanan, hai v'kosav my darshe bay. The v'kosav, what do they darshan with that part of the pasuk? Humi boya lehu, this they use for the following. B'ksiva miskereshes v'ina miskereshes b'kesef. To say that she can only be divorced with a get, not with money. I.e., he gives her a coin and says, why would I think that you could be megarish her with money to have a pasuk to say you can't? I would think because the pasuk says she leaves his house and she marries somebody else. See a smach to that of the idea of marrying on the rebound. We have a hekish there, which we learn out many things in the Maseches Kedushin from, between Gittin and Kedushin. So, Sakata Tuchamina Hoyova Eskish Yitzhiya Lahavaya. Mahavaya Bekesef Av Yitzhiya Bekesef. I would think that since we have a Hekesh between Yitzhiya, the leaving, the ending of the marriage, Lahavaya, to the formation of the marriage, Kedushin. So I would think Mahavaya Bekesef, just like the formation of the marriage, the establishment of the marriage can be occurred through money. Av Yitzhiya Bekesef, so too, the leaving can be done with kesef. The v'yotza of that pasuk. Kamash malon, not. Kamash malon from this pasuk, because of law, it has to be a get, it can't be kesef. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili has svar manalei. So Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, how does he know that you cannot be megarish a woman with money? Right, he has because of law regarding the material, because of law, sefer, he uses all for the materials of what, on which you're ready to get. So he'll say, mesefer krisus nafgalei. He learns it out from the term of the pasuk, as the pasuk says, because of law, sefer krisus. You're writing to her a sefer krisus. So krisus, again, means separation. So he darshans it to say, sefer korsa, ve'in v'rachir korsa. To say the sefer is the krisus. Only a sefer, only this material, this cloth, or whatever, we're expanding it by because of law to other materials, but only in this form of gittin, that's kares. There's no other that separates, and there's no other means to create that separation. Because of Sefer Krisus, that the Krisus is dependent upon Sefer. Okay. The Edach, and by the Rabbanon, what do they do with this obvious connection to Sefer Krisus that Rabbi Yossi is now darshaning? They use it for the requirement that the get must be a krisis, the content. Again, they're dealing with Sefer referring to the content, the Rabbanon, not referring to the material. Not discussing the material, but Rabbi Yossi, the whole thing's the material. It's, you write, because of law Sefer, you write it on any material that's similar to a Sefer, similar to cloth, it's not balechaim or oichol, krisus, and that's the only way to create that separation. Right, that's the way he like darshens out the pasuk. Even there is a little read by the Rabbanan, we're talking about the content, the kos of law, that he has to do a ksiva, he has to do it writing, to create a gerushin. What's he write to her? Sefer, a content, words of krisus, of separation. So that content they're going to darshen the edach miboyale ledavar kares bein lebeina, for something that separates between him and her. Kedetanya, like we learned in the brisa. If he says to her, this is your get on condition that you don't drink wine, on the condition that you don't go back to your father's house, ain't it krisis? That's not a krisis. Even though they are divorced, if she maintains that she keeps that condition, but since there is a restrictive condition that prevents her from doing certain things for the rest of her life, she is therefore considered to still be bound to her husband in some way. Still bound to his authoritarian, apparently, rules in some way. Ain't a krisis, that's not krisis. That get doesn't sever the relationship entirely. So, but however, if he did it, that's only la'olam, that's only if it's forever. Kol shloshim yom, but if he says for 30 days don't drink wine, for 30 days don't go back to your father's house, or raise a krisis, then it would be good, because at some point that ends. It has a limited time span. Fine, so they learned that the content of the get, Sefer Krisus, the Sefer, the content has to be kares, has to fully separate between him and her. There can be no remaining ties. Right? The get, also the idea is that the get itself will at a certain point be definitely effective, whereas if it's forever, then there's always this condition, maybe it's not. That's another way to say it. Rashi said it the first way I said it, but I would think the Svara the second way. The Edach, what does Rabbi Yossi do? How does he know this halacha? We already used up the whole pasuk. Mikaris krisis nafka. He says, it could have just said sefer kares. Why does it say sefer krisis in plural? To tell you this halacha as well. That it has to be kares beina lebeina. The Edach and the Rabbanan kares krisis le darshi. They don't darshan that this is a double lashon of kares krisis. Okay, fine. Oh, wait, we're not finished yet. It's only 6:33. Okay, fine. I wasn't hearing clap for that. Real quick, okay, we're going to get into it just a segue. Real quick, we're going to start another topic. Real quick, there is a Mishnah. This is a Medrash. There's a Medrash that says, you know what? I'm going to save it for the end because it's like very Zaytik. I thought I would do like a segue, give a little break, but we don't have so much time. I want to make sure we get the daft on. Ha'osisukaso ben Eilonis. It's also like off topic. Ha'osisukaso ben Eilonis ve'Eilonis tefanas lakashera. When it makes his sukkah between the trees, and the trees serve as walls for the sukkah, it's kosher. And the idea is that here is that you're not being, we had a tree house, right? You're soymech your sukkah on the trees, the sukkah is relying on the trees. Here it's not. You're simply making it between the trees, and the trees are the walls for your sukkah. So just like we mentioned, again, give a little bit of an observation here. We talked before on the Mishnah's case was Barosha Ilano Agape Gamo Kashera, right? That was Allah on the Mishnah on Chaf Beis and Beis. You made a sukkah on top of a tree, on top of a gamo. We put this together on top of an animal. Then we got into a segue about using an animal for a wall of the sukkah. Now, the mission is going to go talk about using a tree for a wall of a sukkah. So, okay, we're kind of like covering that case as on top and for walls. Okay. So we say, Amar Avocha Bar Yaakov, Kol Mechitza Sheina Yechol Alamed Baruch Metzuya Eina Mechitza. Any Mechitza that's not able to withstand a normal wind, and as we mentioned, it's only a normal wind to be a basha on the ground. Eina Mechitza, it's not a Mechitza. Okay, we already had that. So Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Ha'oisus u'kasa ben ilanis ve'ilanis tefanas lak yasheiro. We mentioned in our Mishnah that you can use trees for walls of a sukkah and it's kosher. V'haka ozir v'asi. The trees will move in the wind. We say ha'cha b'mayaskinan b'kashin. What are we talking about? We're talking about old trees. Older trees, right? Cedar, what are they? Redwood? Redwood trees. They're big. There's no concern. They're not going to move in the wind. We're not dealing with younger trees. We're dealing with older trees. They're sturdy. They're thicker. They're not going to move. Ve'ika nofo. Oh, but you have nofo. You have the greenery of the tree, the branches, the extending branches of the tree. That would move in the wind. If you're using that for your mechitza. So we say, the avad lei behutza v'dafna. The case is where you tied it down. You intertwined it and tied it with hutza v'dafna, with other branches and leaves. To keep it set, so it's not going to move around. It's set. That's what we answered. So what's the chiddush of the Mishnah here? Of course, you can use tefanis. Trees are tefanis. You're not being somich or sukkah on the tree. You're not using the tree. What's the problem? What's the chiddush if there's no concern here? We thought that was like the point of our Mishnah. Because you would think that maybe I can use the tree for a while, because you might, even though it's not really a direct use of the tree, you may come to use the tree in a way that it would be usher to use it. Again, that would be using the tree itself to lean on, or any form of using the tree itself, or using anything that's directly attached to the tree, directly relying on the tree, like in a board that was plugged in and resting on the tree. That would also be tzide ilonis. Studim are also repaskin. You can't rest on the board even.
Tie down the branches.
We're tying down the branches. That's how you make it so that the tree isn't moving in the wind. It's yochel lamed baruch metzuya. That's our answer. If the schach sitting on the tree, then it would still be kosher, because it would only be like a lechatchila lemaisa that we wouldn't do it. I don't think Gemara would necessarily. The Gemara could be talking about the tzach sitting on the tree, or not, or the tzach is extended above on poles, but you're using the trees for your mechitz of the sukkah, which would be kosher even by us. Even if you have the poles resting on trees, going up, that would also be kosher lechatchila, and the tzach on top of those poles, which are resting on trees, that would also be kosher lechatchila by us. The Mishnah Berurah discusses that in where we discussed yesterday. I forgot that it is Tavish Chavtas. That's what we're getting into, Maimed. That's what we're talking about there. Yeah. Okay. There's a Chumr in the Chazanish. We're going to skip it all. Okay, so let's continue. Tashema. Haisham Ilan Ogeder. And we're going to talk about it. I'm going to make sure we talk about this idea of Ruach Mitzuya, because that's a big issue. What does this mean? Eni Yechol Alamed Ruach Mitzuya. We mentioned again, public well. All you need is an amma by amma box. An amma by amma outlines of a box, an L shape. Amma here, on this side, this side, this side, this side, and my coffee is the public well. Okay. So for Oli Regolim, they matter this use of pesi biros. They're called pesi biros, pegs of a bira, of a well. So we're gonna this Bryce is gonna discuss different materials you can use. Elon, ogeder or mechitza sakana. If you had there a tree that had within it the potential to carve out that L, which would be an amma by amma, you had a tree on one of these on the side here. You had a geder. A geder always means, although we translate it as a fence, it always means a stone wall in Hebrew. I'm sorry, in Gemara. Oh, mechitza sakana. Or a mechitza sakanim, you had a number of reeds that were close enough to each other, they were together, they were within three tefachim of each other, that you would have loved. Nida mishim tiyumid. That counts as a tiyumid. That counts as a one of the pegs on the sides of the well, outlining the well, forming the formation of a corner of the corners of a box, as we mentioned a few times. Okay. That would be nidin mishum diyumid. We call them diyumid because it's a diyum amudin. It's two. Diyum means two. It's two walls. Each one is two walls. It's the L. So it's diyum amudin. We call that diyumid. So that counts as a diyumid. Oh, hesem nami mishum. So we say, so we bring the Zariah. Now, those reeds are going to move in the wind, in a normal wind. Those aren't stable, right? Or maybe the Alonis, we're not talking where they're strong, and et cetera. We don't know. So there should be a concern. How can you use it as a mechitza? It's ena omedes beruach mitzuya. It doesn't withstand the normal wind. We say hesem nami mishim davar libehutz v'dafna. There, it's also where you tied it, intertwined it, and tied it with leaves and other leaves and branches. So that's therefore it's staying in that manner. Another case. Toshimo ilan amesach ala aretz yimei nevu gavoyim in aretz shlosh tefachim metatal and tachtov. We say that a willow tree. This tree is going up, and then it's nofo. Its greenery is coming all the way down to within three tefachim of the ground, creating this pocket inside it. So we say metatal and tachtav. You can be metatal, it's considered to be a rishus yachid that you can carry within the entire area because it's totally contained. Not only are you not like a carmelist where you would be limited to only carrying four amos. We say amai hoka osavasi. That's not stable. That'll move. Those walls will move in the wind, in a normal wind. Can you guess the answer? Hechem Nami. They're also the upper limbs of a dafna. They're also it's where you tied it down with other leaves and branches. To itself, so that it's like totally intertwined. It's not gonna shift. It's not gonna move. I mean, even maybe it. We'll talk about that in a second. It's not gonna move. If you intertwined it with other leaves and branches, it's all intertwined. It's all holding itself together in that formation. So we say, the next part of the Gemara is a really side point. We're gonna go with the second. It says, if so, you should be able to carry in the entire thing. Lama Amar Rav Huna, Bereid of Yeshua, Ematatlan Bo Ella Beis Asayim. We answer Mishum Dahavi Dirish Tashmishal Aver Kol Dirish Tashmishal Aver Ematatlan Bo Ella Asayim. I really want to go over that yet tomorrow because I think there's more there, but fine. So we say the following: if so, then you shouldn't be able to carry in the entire area. We're just to cover the dafs. Just go on the next page. If so, you shouldn't be able to carry. If so, that you it was man made. If this mechitza, there's a rule in general. Naturally, for mechitzas, you can only carry in a base of sayim. There's a limitation to how long we can carry because it's a mechitza she'ena asuya ladira. The hekif mechitza, the surrounding wall, was not made for the purposes of living inside that space. It may be a naturally formed it's an enclosure, and it could even be a man made enclosure. But if it's an enclosure that is not made for the purposes of dwelling within it. For the purpose of living within that space, then it has a limitation to how big it can be. It has to be a rishus yachid. Midrabanan, if it's above sasayim, then we will, which we learn out from the chutzer. How are we sasayim? We'll discuss it tomorrow, the details of base sasayim. But if midrabanan, if it's above a base sasayim, it'll be treated like a karmelis, and you can only carry in four amos in that area. We'll recap it tomorrow because it's going to come up again. Of what the details are of base of sign, how big is the base of sign. But that's the limitation. Gemara Erevin learns it out from the Chutzer. I can't remember how big it is exactly. It's like 70 some, I think. Let's continue. Yeah, I'm not off on that. Let's continue. Fine. So if it's man-made, however, he made it, and he made it to live in it. Right, he made it. If it's naturally formed, it wasn't made to be lived in. It was naturally formed. But if you made the wall to live in it, it's a kosher. It would be a rishus yachid to carry, even with the rabbanon, it'd be a rishus yachid to carry all over it, even bigger than a base of sayim. Fine. So, why then, if he tied it down with this chutz of a dafna, he tied it down, why isn't it a man-made mechitza that was a suya ladira? He should be able to carry it even more than a base of sayim. And we know that there was a statement of Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua, Alama Amar Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. Why did Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua say, "Ematatlan bo ela beis asayim"? You should only carry in this up to a beis asayim, no more. We answer Mishum David Dirish Tashmisha La'aver V'Kol Dirish Tashmisha La'aver Ematatlan bo ela beis asayim. We say because even though it was man-made, it wasn't made ladira. It wasn't made to be lived in. It was made for the air outside of it, for the space outside of it. Because Rashi explains the person who was sitting in this willow tree was sitting in it for the purpose of guarding the fields that are outside of the tree. Not to actually live in it. So the whole structure here is not for the purpose of its use, but of its intrinsic use inside the structure, but just to be somewhere for the function and service of the air outside of it. Rashi and Erevin, I think, says it differently. I have to go through. I have to look this up a little bit more, but that's what we're holding. Real quick, halacha lemaisa. What does it mean in enomedes beruach? Big. This is a big deal. So we're going to talk about this. What does it mean in enomedes beruach? And it doesn't stand in the wind. The Chazanish says the following, that, and this is an Ayin Vav, Sif Vav, or Os Vav. He says the following, what does it mean a mechitza that doesn't stand in the Ruach is not a mechitza, that doesn't stand in the normal wind is not a mechitza? He says that it seems that's only a wind that breaks the mechitza. As mentioned before, that the sukkah were met by Rabbi Akiva, the sukkah flew away. Right, and the Omedes, he made a sukkah that stands on the ground, on the normal ground wind. He made it on the sea. That's not going to last at all. It's going to blow away. He says the problem of a mechitza that doesn't stand in the wind is because the mechitza will break. It will actually destroy the mechitza. It actually spreads out. The wind will spread out the branches in a way that they'll be three tefachim away from each other. It'll push the mechitza three tefachim either off the ground. It'll bring it off the ground three tefachim in a way it's mechitza tluy. It's no longer a kosher mechitza, or push it three tefachim away from the roof in a way that it would no longer be a wall from the roof. So mechitza she'ena medes berach, he says, is it breaks the mechitza. It's no longer a mechitza. He says, but if it just moves it a little bit here, but it would still be a kosher mechitza, you still have the mechitza, then that's not an issue of ena medes beruach. Fine. Fine. That's not an issue of ena medes beruach. However, Rabbi Yosef brings his medayik in a matzah shekel in shin samach beis sifka and chaval of matzah shekel. He's medayik that really, even if it moves a little bit, that's called Eino Medes Baruch, that's not a mechitza. It doesn't stand anymore when it's not a mechitza. And the reason is because it's in the strength of the wall. A wall that is not cannot withstand on the wind is not a wall. It's in the material. The Imik Baracha in Sukkos, Osio Tess also learns like this opinion. And that's the way he describes it, that a wall is not a wall if it can't withstand the normal wind. What kind of partition is that if it can't withstand the normal wind? Okay, fine. So the Nafkamin is like this. If you use tarps for your sukkah, you must use loved, even if you tie them down, even if they're tied down, we're concerned they'll become loose, and therefore you have to use loved, of less than three tefachim. Okay, so the concern would be only by tarps that there's a possibility that they could blow even a little bit by, if they were to become loose, they would only possibly could blow a little bit by the Master Sheko, or by the Chazanish would only be required to use the Lovid and not rely on the tarps if there's a possibility if they could actually blow off the ground, three tefachim, off the ground. L'maisa Ramachmir Ramosha in the Tshuva Chilik Hay is Machmir, even if it just becomes ugly, even if it's tied down, but there's a possibility that it will actually become circular on the side. He's Machmir as well. Ayin Sham, there's a lot to go into. We're going to stop here.